This is Terry Fenneman. Today is July 16th, 2020. I am interviewing Cynthia Haynes, the Chief Financial Officer for Haynes Publishing / Norwest Newspapers, who is based in Oberlin, Kansas, for the Community Journalism in Middle America, Challenges and Innovations of COVID-19 Coverage Oral History Project. So why don't you start out telling us how long you've worked in journalism and a little bit about your journalism career?
I've been in journalism since late 1980. I do not have any formal journalism training. I actually have a BS in pharmacy from the University of Kansas. I am still a practicing pharmacist. My husband and I decided to leave Kansas City, where he worked for the Kansas City Times, the Star Company, and moved to Colorado. We bought a very tiny paper in a mountain community of about 800 people, moved our three children in the middle of the winter. They were 6 months, 3 and 6. We had no place to live, and we literally had no jobs because we had quit our jobs and hadn't signed up for to buy the paper yet. But we persevered, and eventually, when it came time, we moved back to Kansas in 1993. And pretty much all the journalism I know, I have learned from him. He's a very good teacher from a journalism family. He's a great nephew of William Allen White.
And what was the name of the Colorado paper?
Our first Colorado paper was called the Mineral County Miner and South Fork Times. That's T-I-N-S. And no, I didn't name it.
And so tell us what newspapers you own now.
Okay, at this time, we own the Oberlin Herald, where I work. That's a weekly. We also own weeklies in St. Francis, the St. Francis Herald and Bird City Times. In Atwood, the Rollins County Square Deal, and in Norton, Norton Telegram. We have a twice weekly in Goodland, the you've got me now. Star News, thank you. Oh my. And we have the Colby Free Press, which is a 4-day daily in Colby. We also have at the Advocate, which is an area-wide shopper.
And tell us about the circulations of the newspapers.
Most of them run 12 to 1,500. The shopper, obviously, is a great deal more, and I'm not sure. It goes in all our papers and to several towns and unincorporated areas in Kansas and a little bit into Colorado.
And how many people work in your various newsrooms?
I think we have about 35 to 40 right now, full and part-time. In Oberlin, I have 3 full-time employees plus 2 part-time people. I have a reporter, myself, and a bookkeeper makeup person. We also have a press operation.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we have a press in Goodland, which does all of our printing.
And remind us of your husband's name?
Steve Haynes.
So when did the impact of COVID on your newspapers start?
You know, we started noticing it in April and May. When they started closing things, businesses down, basically, it's hard to sell advertising to businesses that aren't open, and it's hard to sell advertising to businesses that are open when they depend on businesses that are closed. We have not had the impact that some places have, simply because we haven't had very many cases of COVID out here in Northwest Kansas.
So how has your newsroom, your various newsrooms, adjusted their routines? You know, have you had more employees working from home, or since you haven't had many cases, are people still going into work?
We do have several employees that have gone pretty much fully to working at home, either because they have small children or because they have pre-existing conditions that would make it, you know, bad if they caught the virus. We're doing more by phone and email than we used to. Interviews that we wouldn't think anything of going and talking to a person, now we call them.
What are some other safety regulations that you've put in place? Have you required your employees to wear masks when they're out or shoot photos from far away? You know, what kind of things have you told them?
We have not required masks, although some of our employees do wear them when they're out. We do have suggested, staying social distances, which, 6 feet isn't too bad for a short time of getting some quick photos. So that really is not too much of a problem. In the offices, we're trying to move our desks farther apart. Putting out hand sanitizer and reminding people, wash your hands, and stay apart. Try not to, go into groups. If you have to go to a meeting, make sure that it's social distances, you stay your own way away.
As a publisher, in the very early days of the pandemic, there was very brief concern that the virus could spread via newsprint, which was quickly debunked. But did that initial quick concern, did that impact you guys at all?
I don't see any impact on that one. Or if it did, I didn't notice it. Again, because we didn't have many cases, I think, people weren't as concerned as probably in other places where they started having a lot.
Yeah. So going off of that, how seriously do you feel your community is taking the pandemic?
They're starting to get a little more because we're starting to have some cases. A week ago, 10 days ago, July 7th, I talked to you and I said, we have no cases. Today we have three. One of our towns, Colby, had no cases then. Now they have about 15. It's coming home. But I think people are still a little, they're slowly starting to do things, starting to wear their masks. Everybody has hand sanitizer at the front of their buildings. People are putting up shields for secretaries and bank clerks and what have you. So they're starting to try to protect people, try to protect our employees, try to protect each other.
So talk a little bit more about how you've personally had to adjust to working in journalism during the pandemic.
Well, it hasn't been that much for me. Even though I'm 72, I'm in good health, and I've pretty much gone about my business the way I always do. I have no children at home, so not having school in session has not been a problem. I have made a few more phone calls, and when I go to see customers or do an interview, I try and stand back farther than I used to, instead of sitting right across the desk from them, I'll sit in the chair on the other side of the room. And I do attend a lot of meetings, and a lot of those have gone to Zoom or Facebook, which is, not all bad because more people can see them. City Council is going to keep doing Facebook now because people say they like it, even though they've gone back to regular meetings.
Did you make any changes in news strategy for your newspapers as far as print, online, or social media in the last few months?
Not that. We did some changes in what we reported. In Oberlin, we have something called Talk of the Town, which is basically telling when the Rotary meeting is, when the city council is going to be, when you can get your blood pressure taken at the senior center, that sort of thing. All of April and May, we took that out. And instead, we put closings and openings. When are church services no longer, you know, when, what are churches doing since they weren't open? Are they live streaming? Are they holding services outdoors? You know, you call in and they give you a prayer over the phone. What businesses are open and what are their hours? What are their restrictions? You know, are they appointment only now? Do you have to knock on the door? Do you have to call beforehand? And so for 2 months, we ran that instead of what clubs and what have you, which none of them were meeting anyway. So, but we now have gone back to our regular town crier since most of our businesses are open and most of the churches are back functioning to a certain degree.
How have you tried, or how have your editors tried, to balance pandemic coverage while also providing coverage of other things?
I think, and it's hard to know what, you know, everybody's doing, but from what I've seen in our newspapers, you know, at first there was a lot of pandemic coverage, a whole lot. I mean, when the schools are closing, when your businesses are closing, the hospital, you can't get into the hospital, you know, the nursing home, they can't leave, the restaurants are closed, gyms, you can't go to the dentist, you know, we had a lot. We had other things, but not as much because, you know, there wasn't much social news to have. We still had our city council meetings and whatever the county government was doing, the school board, you know, accidents, fires, miscellaneous stuff. Now it's less so. We still put everything that the governor says in. You know, she just announced that schools would not be opening until after Labor Day. Of course, that still has to be confirmed, but, you know, so that will be in our papers this week. Other than that, you know, like I say, we're going back more to a few COVID stories a week and mostly local news instead of mostly COVID stories and a few local news.
Tell us more about what have been some of the biggest stories your papers have covered related to the pandemic.
Sure. I think in most of our towns, but in Oberlin especially, because of course I work here, feeding the children. When school stopped, people looked around and said, hey, some of these children, this school lunch is what they eat. You know, they have breakfast and lunch and then they don't get much supper. We want to make sure that they get fed. And the town chipped in and started handing out free school lunches, basically, out the back door of the cafeteria. They would make up sack lunches and people would come get them for their children. They had to do that because of the federal guidelines were so strict as to who could get what, and they wanted to make sure every kid that needed a meal got it. And that was a really important story. Our seniors, again, the school's very big here. Our seniors weren't going to get graduation. They weren't going to get prom. They weren't going to get all those things that, you know, happen. It's a big deal. Now, that has changed some. We had prom last week, and we're going to have graduation this week. But obviously, everything's later than it should be. Our Chamber of Commerce looked around and said, you know, we need to help our businesses and our people. And so we had a program called Decatur Double Dollars, where, you know, if you took $100 in and bought their checks, if you will, they would give you $200 to spend at local businesses within a couple of months' time. And most of that money has come back already. It was all purchased within a couple of hours and has been spent within the community. What are some of our other stories? You know, we've been running weekly stories on what the officials are doing. What's open, what's closed, what do they say we should do? I think if I've, you know, printed how to wash your hands once, I printed it 50 times in the last few months. But, you know, hey, nobody ever taught me how to wash my hands when I was growing up. You know, wash your hands. You have to go to the bathroom, you know. But 20 seconds? Sing a song in your head? Nobody ever said that. You know, wash between your fingers? You know, but so it's important. And like I say, the business closings and the churches, that's been a biggie around here. So those are pretty much the big things we've covered. And the governor, and the legislature, their fights and what they do.
Talk a little bit more about how the financials of your newspapers have been impacted during the first few months of the pandemic.
You know, we saw a loss of income. Haven't got all of our financials back yet, but, you know, they're down. But on the other hand, I've talked to friends who are in the business in tourist areas and in areas that serve large box stores, say, metro and suburban areas, and they're hit a lot harder than we are. I have one friend that says his business is down by a third. We're not nearly that bad off. But we went and we took out a payroll protection program loan, so we haven't had to lay anybody off. We haven't had to cut anybody's hours. So far, we're hanging in there.
Some newspapers have cut back on pages in their issues. Have you had to do that?
No, we have not. Again, I know of at least two dailies that are now two or three times a week. But we have not, other than the fact that we have cut our papers back some. I shouldn't say, a year ago I would be running a 16, now I'm running a 12 or 14 page paper. You know, and we warned people that this would happen, you know, that, and part of it is if you don't have as much going on, you don't have the social news, you don't have the sports from the school, and you don't have the advertising, you know, it's pretty easy to cut back. And people seem to have understood. I haven't had any complaints.
Have you written any columns or editorials about the pandemic for your newspapers?
I have not. My husband is the editorial writer, and he has written numerous editorials about it, you know, about what we think is right and what the officials are doing, what we think is wrong. You know, are they going too far? Are they not going far enough? It depends on, you know, what's happening this week.
What are some of the things that your husband wrote that he thought was going well and things that he disagreed with?
Now you're making me think. like I said, you didn't put that on my cheat sheet.
I'm asking a follow-up question.
There are times when he's thought that, I remember early on, you know, he thought some of the governor's decrees were a little heavy-handed, you know. The legislature should have had a say in things because, you know, that's the way government works. It's, You know, it's not that maybe what she said was wrong, but everyone should have a say. There should be checks and balances. But he also thinks that we have to be very careful opening everything up again. You know, kaboom, open Pandora's box. He has written editorials about masks. You know, it shouldn't be a political statement. It should be, I'm wearing this because I care about you. And those are some of the things he's written about.
Even though your paper hasn't been impacted quite as much, how do you see the business model for the industry changing as a result of the pandemic?
Well, I'm wondering if some of these papers are ever going to come back to being daily papers. Most of them are going, you know, they'll have their online part of their time. So if they, say, go from a five-day daily to a two-day daily, to two-day paper, they'll have news the other 3 days. They're just saving the expense of printing and putting them out. So, you know, that's accelerating trends that were already there. People were already doing a lot online. This is just making publishers that, like us, that really, we are online every week, but forcing us to do a little bit more in that respect.
So going off of that, what are any innovations that you and your newspapers have undergone during the pandemic that you think have been beneficial?
Well, the one thing that stands out in my mind, and it's pretty much internal, but we had almost quit having meetings of the whole staff simply because we're spread across 6 counties, and it's really difficult, you know. It's a 2-hour drive from one end to the other. And if a manager were to go to a meeting in the afternoon, say, they would lose most of a day's work. And if that's an ad salesman for ad meetings, it would be even worse. So we have learned to use Zoom, and we're having more regular meetings now. And I think it's helping all of us to talk to each other, bounce ideas off of each other. Know what's happening, know what we should be doing. So that's helped us a lot. I don't know that we're going more online because, like I say, we have been putting our papers out there for years. We don't do a daily follow-up, but as some places do, but we are available.
What changes, if any, have you noticed with your reader base during the pandemic?
A little more people going online for their news. And I think that's probably because, at least here in Oberlin, we had a lot of people that just came in and got the paper. So we don't have as many people coming in to get the paper. We don't actually have carriers, but we've had a young person go around and sell papers to the downtown merchants. They weren't available. You know, their parents didn't feel comfortable with them doing this. So we've had a little more online people with the reading our paper. And, of course, I don't know... we purchased the Rawlins County Square deal just the beginning of the month. And before that, there was 3 weeks of mispublication before we started publishing it. And we started getting a lot of online subscriptions from that area for the Oberlin Herald because those people didn't know if they were going to have a paper or not, and they wanted a paper. Which is why we went ahead and purchased the paper and started putting it out. Actually, we started putting it out and then purchased it 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting story because so much of the story of the pandemic has talked about newspapers that closed, and here you're buying one. So I think you're a rare bird who has bought a paper during the pandemic. So why don't you talk a little bit more about why that was important to you?
Okay. The publishers of the paper were local and a very nice couple, but they wanted to retire. And for a year, they have been saying, we want to retire. They've been putting notices in the paper. They advertised on, you know, the press association sites. And finally, you know, they said, this is it. We're tired. We need to get out. And so, you know, they put a notice in the paper and said, this is it. If somebody doesn't come forward, this is the last issue. And that was, I think, the 21st of May. Well, the next week came and nobody came forward. And part of the problem is they had no staff. It wasn't money so much, but staffing. 2 weeks went by, 3 weeks went by, and I'm looking at this and looking at my husband and saying, you know, it's going to be one of the few counties in Kansas without a paper if somebody doesn't do something. And he said, well, they have no staff. And I said, yes, but we have the backup resources. So at that point, we called the owners and said, we would like to put out the paper and we would like to buy it, but we would have to, you know, negotiate with you. And they said, okay, fine. And so we put out two newspapers while we were, you know, talking to them about how we would buy it. And then we signed the papers on the 30th of June to purchase the paper. Now, we're still a little short of staff. Our people are out there working hard, but we hired an ad salesman. We have a part-time person over there that'll help us with news. We're going forward and seeing what we can do for them. It's sort of like seeing a puppy beside the road, you know. We're just going to leave it there to die, or you're going to take it home, even if you have too many dogs.
So for the historical record, who were the former owners?
Oh, the Huffs. Lloyd and Susan? Susan. Lloyd and Susan Huff. And, you know, they're still there and they're still giving us advice and help.
What have been the biggest challenges for you professionally during the pandemic?
Trying to get a hold of people who weren't there, I guess. You know, finding out what's happening with various businesses. I mean, I personally walked the whole length of town and then got in the car to get the highway businesses to find out what they were doing. You know, what did their door say? They weren't there, or if they were, the door was locked. Just trying to find out what's happening in a place that wasn't very open.
How has the pandemic influenced you personally?
Personally, less travel. We're pretty used to traveling a lot. We're a member of a lot of press associations, and you know, we were supposed to go to a National Newspaper Association meeting in Washington in March. Our plans then were to go visit friends in New Jersey and see a play in New York and take the train down to see our children in Georgia. Well, that didn't happen, you know. We were supposed to go to the Kansas Press Association, the Nebraska Press Association meeting, the Colorado Press Association meeting. We've pretty much gone nowhere. So, like I say, travel is a big part of what we do, and seeing other publishers and exchanging ideas. And I understand Kansas is going to do theirs virtually, so we may get some ideas there, but it's not the same as being in the same room with people and talking to them. And sharing stories.
So we've touched on this a little bit, but what changes to your newspaper operations during the pandemic are you most ready to just be over with already?
What we've done, I think, is all pretty good, like people working from home. You know, I don't mind that. Most of the time it works for them and it works for me. They seem to actually get as much or more work done than we've had in the past, you know. Maybe because they don't have people coming in and talking to them all the time or whatever. I don't know. Or they can, take out time to take care of their child, and they don't have to run home when there's an emergency. So most of the changes, either they've already started, they were already started, or, it's like hygiene. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no problem. 6 feet apart is kind of a pain, but hey, it's not that bad. You just push desks around a little bit, rearrange the computers. The masks. I would love to get rid of the masks. Believe me, I said I was a registered pharmacist and I still work, and spending 8 hours or 10 hours with a mask on, trying to talk on the phone, trying to talk to people, it's hard. So maybe that would be the one thing I'd love to get rid of.
Yeah, it is interesting that you both have a newspaper role and kind of a medical background. So, have you thought about writing more columns for your papers? Because you do have some expertise there.
I write a weekly column, just general what's happening in my life or in other people's lives or what. And Stephen writes a column and an editorial almost every week. So I think that's probably enough. We also, I cover the city council meetings, the hospital board, the Chamber of Commerce. I think I'm writing enough. Well, most of the ad salesmen for the Oberlin Herald. So what happens when you have a small paper and haven't hired anybody yet? You get to do the job.
How has the pandemic influenced your views of the role of journalism in society?
I think we're more important than ever. I think the newspaper, it gives rational, stable, factual information. You go to websites or Facebook, and oh my gosh, you can hear anything. So what's right? What's true? What do people go out and dig and try and put the truth together for? I think journalism is very important to our society today. And it's like complaining about the governor doing something that, taking a little more onto herself than she probably should have. Because, there's an emergency. Well, you can, that's a thin line. You can cross it one too many times and suddenly you don't have a democracy. So people have to be watchdogs, if you will. Somebody has to say, hey, this isn't right.
Going off of that, what do you want readers to know about journalism right now?
We're here the same as always. We're still out there trying to do what we've always done. Tell the story as truthfully and accurately as we possibly can. Doesn't always work. Sometimes we have to say, whoops, we goofed. But that's because we're human. And if we weren't doing it, we wouldn't make mistakes. And I think our readers have been very good. Been very understanding about the changes. It's like our ministers. I change their church times every other day, it seems like. And they've been real good about calling us and saying, oh, by the way, yeah, I know we told you that on Monday, but on Tuesday we made a change. As long as, we keep talking to each other, we're trying to put out the best paper, the best information we can. I think it'll all work out.
What do you want journalists 100 years from now who may be covering a new pandemic? What do you want them to know?
I thought about that one. I want to tell them the sky isn't falling now, and it probably isn't going to be falling then. People lived through the same thing back during World War I. Things are a lot better than they are today, even with our problems, than they were during World War II. You know, we had rationing, we had people dying. It was tough. And yet we're stronger and better now than we were then. And I think the same thing will be true after this. And when this, whatever happens 100 years from now, they'll live through it and they'll be stronger on the other side.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Just one thing, you know, and this is, I thought about this, and I think it's kind of odd. I think that living in an agricultural area has helped us. I said earlier that my friends in tourism and those that had a lot of real estate ads and, you know, dealt with a lot of chain stores, covered a lot of social events, are hurting a lot worse than we are. Our agricultural base, which has had a tough time. I mean, it's been a struggle for years and years. But because of it, it's been kind of stable compared to everything else. I mean, farmers are out there sowing, and the harvest is about done for wheat here. I see the corn growing. The elevators are hard at work. The people that sell implements and, you know, other things that farmers need are doing well, and they're advertising. So I think agriculture has almost been our savior, which seems a little strange after all those years of, you know, going, oh, woe is us, we're dying because of agriculture.
Okay, this is the conclusion of the oral history.